Hello, welcome to another episode of the D&D Show. Whoop, whoop,
hello.
Whee!
Boop, 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 boop.
Wow. Hello, hello, hello.
My name's Luke. I'm your Dungeon Master, DM, GM, host, whatever the fuck you want to call me. Tonight, today, whatever day it is, maybe it's morning where you are if you're listening to the podcast. Who knows? I am joined by Lisa Horton.
Oi, oi.
Oi, oi, Gavner.
What? 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 What?
And Gavin Bourne.
All right, Governor.
Sean Lee.
Well, hello there.
Little Franny Pants, how you doing?
Franny Pants.
And James Bly.
Hello.
How are we doing, sir? You all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
Good, 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 good.
Can I just give a quick shout out to Luke's daughter? Who came down the stairs and completely surprised me the other day and said, "Hello, Gavin." And I was like, "How the hell did she know my name? I've never met her in my life."
Yeah, that's right. So the weekend just gone, we went and stayed with my mum down in Dagenham and saw my mum and my sister and like their family and stuff. Yeah, and Gavin popped around to see my brother-in-law for a couple of minutes while we were around there. Yeah, my daughter just comes and says, like, everyone was like, "Who's this?" Like, I think Lewis, my brother-in-law, his son was calling you the other guy. When you'd gone, he came into the room and was like, "Where'd that other person go?" Like, but then my daughter just came down and was like, "Hello, Gavin." Like, she's our number one fan. She watches the show on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah. It was so random. I was like, "How the hell does Luke's kids know my
name?" She's good. She's like when we've been setting up in the past, when she's still been up, come and watch the screen and stuff like that. So, So that's my daughter, Leia. There we go.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Hello, Leia.
Hello. I'm sure she'll say hello back because she, in a couple of weeks, maybe she'll hear this and she'll be like, "Oh, come to me." I doubt it. I think she only listens to the music. She told me off when she realized we'd changed the intro music because she didn't like it and she likes the original one. So I don't know that she's still doing it. I think she just used, because she's got Spotify. I said this before, she's got Spotify and she just listens to the intro.
Yeah.
How is everybody this week? Feels like ages since we spoke.
I know, right?
Yeah, mushrooms cracking. And everything.
Mushrooms, everything.
mushrooms.
Not a whole lot of change. Nothing's
free. I have snacks now.
Yeah. Got snacks. You got some pretzels. Yeah.
White fudge pretzels.
Delicious.
They will not last long.
Topped up my glass with some gin and some very flat Aldi own brand. I love Aldi. Lilt. So it's like tropical drinks, nice. Gin, gin.
Maybe we could get a sponsorship from Aldi.
We could, yeah.
Hey, the D&D Show sponsored.
Sponsored by Aldi. Cheap stuff for your belly.
This is it. There's a little 20% off code or something that we can give people.
Buy a welder and some oranges.
Just type in the code, "Does it have a dick?" for 10% off.
Need milk, bread and a tuba? Aldi.
Just head to aldi.co.uk/ is it flanked for your 20% off.
These codes will not work.
No.
Not a guarantee.
I don't think we're family friendly enough to get a sponsor from someone like that. Or big enough. I mean, I wish we were. Cool. Yeah, I haven't really much to go through. We've, to spoil the illusion, we record two episodes in a night, so we've already done all that catching up. We've been together for the past couple of hours, so we'll go straight into it. But I just want to do one shout out, which I didn't do in the last episode. Just, I don't know if we were even going to use it again, but in the episode 13, part one, certainly, of the podcast, we've used some music by a guy called Michael Gelfi. Do apologize if I'm pronouncing that wrong. He's on YouTube. You can find Michael Gelfi RPG ambiences and music. Look him up on YouTube. He's done some really cool kind of ambience music for different scenarios, all designed for D&D campaigns and things like that. And he basically has lets people use his stuff on their shows, providing you have less than 500 Twitch followers or less than like several thousand. I think as long as you're not making money from your podcast, basically. Mm. So that was pretty cool. He does some really good stuff. I followed him on Twitter. So if you follow us on Twitter, you can find him that way as well. And all sorts. Definitely check him out. I know that a couple of people that listen to us and watch us do have their own podcast as well. So maybe you can find some use in that. Otherwise, let's get crack-a-lacking. So you finally have left Cragmore Castle. We've been there for like five weeks or something. You've cleared it out of almost everything. You think you've killed everything, all the goblins, all of it. You found a door protected by some kind of magical trap or magical glyphs, which you managed to solve the little puzzle, all to do with the ancient dark god Moanda. It said something along the lines of the clue was, minions of the Darkbringer were charged to feed great Moanda with fresh corpses of their own making. They were to hew down strong plants and trees to feed it, blah, 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 blah. So there was an inscription on the door. You rolled a history check or religion check to work out the full text. And it says in there, you know, fresh corpses of your own. So you think, I know, we've got loads of fresh corpses, hundreds of them. So you threw a dead body at it and this door opened, leading down a dark, dark staircase into a dark, dark cellar. In a dark, dark world, in a dark, dark castle. And you decided, fuck that for a laugh. We're not going down there. You barricaded it all and then just fucked off, which is fair enough.
But We're hurting.
Yeah, that's all right. So basically you've rescued Gundren. Finally,
yeah.
He's badly beaten. He's asked, it's just, I need help. Get me to Sister Gariel at Phandalin. I need a cleric. I need some help. There was a bit of a mic drop moment last week as well. After opening the door to the owlbear chamber, the owlbear fucked off. You worked that one out quite quickly. You didn't have to fight it. It just wanted to get out. It's been kept prisoner, I suppose, in there, or it's been caught and kept in there against its will. And in the pile of bones where they've been feeding it, you found the remnants of a body of none other than Sildar Hallwinter. Bob, bob, boom! So that led to some interesting moments.
What the actual fuck, man?
You deduce that a body's probably been there for 3, 4, 5 days, maybe. It's, you know, it's rotting, it's stinks, it's covered in, you know, it's got some maggots in it. It's clearly been eaten a lot by this owlbear. It's eaten most of its limbs, most of its torso. There wasn't much of him left. But yeah, Sildar Hallwinter dead.
All this time.
Shocking.
It's an interesting
sneaky
one.
Bastard.
So what's going on there then? What are your thoughts around that? Dead.
Well, are we back at camp?
Not lost to the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So you left basically the castle and you've marched out, you left all your horses and everything, and you had a camp outside of the woods, just as well you survived, really. Otherwise, these horses would have been just left tied up to a tree to be stolen or just die of starvation tied to a tree. You've got back to camp. It's taken you, it's about 5 miles from what I remember last time saying, to where your camp was. You've turned into a wharf and you've got a wharf. Yep, you've turned into a wharf from Star Trek The Next Generation. Klingon. Carrying Gungeon on your back. You're turning into a dire wolf. You're carrying him out. You've set up camp because you've not got enough time left now of the day, really, to make it back to Phandalin. You need a full day. You're going to rest up, regain your strength, regain your hit points, regain your spell slots.
Yeah.
So what does everybody think about what's going on? What's everyone thinking?
So, I do apologise, but I was a wolf for most of that, and I couldn't communicate absolutely fuck all with any of you. What are we thinking about this whole Sildar? Because I kind of missed your first bit of the journey, so fill me in on where you think this switcheroo may have happened.
Somewhere between meeting in Neverwinter and meeting in Phandalin. Did we? I'm talking to Burr. Did we check for our code word? Did we check for anything before we took this 500 gold mission?
He definitely knew the password. So the password was right at the beginning. We gave the password after we tested and chased down Hagar.
I seem to remember when we went to Phandalin, someone did ask him a password, which confused me at the time, but now it makes sense. So he does know that password.
Yeah.
It's definitely possible that Sildar has been not Sildar for almost this whole time. We know for a fact that Sildar is dead. All we can plan for going forward is how we're going.
Sildar also dead as well.
Yeah.
But maybe he didn't. I can see what Millicent's saying.
I think he
could have been captured for the Sildar whole thing, but only has recently died.
What was Scape trying to say?
I can't. Oh, sorry, it's gone. Completely gone.
Fair enough. Okay.
I fly. I think that we have been duped.
Definitely. 100%.
And now I think about it, 500 gold is a lot of money.
Hmm.
And I, for one, feel rather greedy and stupid. But that just means our vengeance will be much, much worse when we return.
Are we sure that we're safe with the other one?
Gundren?
And I'm going to... Yeah.
I'm going to give him a check over. Can I look him over and see if there's any signs of him being not Gundren?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you give me what kind of check would that involve? Some kind of intelligence check.
Okay.
Or wisdom. Possibly you could argue it's wisdom-based. An insight.
Does he have like a dick?
Well, if I'm looking specifically for blue blood, I'm actually looking for, like, physical evidence. So can I investigate?
I check behind the ear for a twig.
And in the mouth for a side capsule and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's largely unconscious. He's drifting in and out of consciousness the whole way and not really making a whole lot of sense, really, from his injury. So certainly, so insight is more about your feelings towards something, and investigation is, yeah.
I'm trying to clear suspicions, but I'm also trying to look for specific stuff, so I'll leave it up to you, Dean.
Can I talk to him in Dwarvish?
Yes, yeah, when he comes through, you can absolutely talk to him in Dwarvish.
Oh, that's a great idea, yeah. Because that would, I mean, we've got to assume that doppelgangers probably don't know every language that
they take form of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you say to him?
Are you a dwarf?
You say that in Dwarvish. He's, you know, he's concussed, and he's like, and he speaks back to you in common. And it's like, of course I'm a dwarf. What do you expect, my cousins, man?
And then I say, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood in Dwarvish?
Well, if a woodchuck could chuck wood, then I suppose a woodchuck would chuck as much wood as a woodchuck could possibly chuck. I suppose.
He understood me.
Pop gets his notebook out and just makes a note of that.
Am I delirious? What's going on?
Don't worry.
I don't remember what accent I tried to do before. I think it was... I failed miserably at trying to do a Scottish accent before, and it came out a little bit Irish, American. I don't know. What do you mean? Of course
Liam
I
Neeson.
Can wood chuck and chuck in the wood, and this is the best Liam Neeson you're going to get.
That's great.
Midichlorians and I will find you. I have a certain set of skills.
What we don't know is that those are the first two sentences in the Dwarvish to Common Phrasebook.
This is it.
The doppelganger just learned.
Gundren, I'm not sure if you can hear me, but what's the password?
Password for what? Now I'm a pirate. of course it was. I like butt stuff. I believe it was.
That was one.
That was the one. That was one.
No, it was Mount Hopnell backwards. One or two.
Fair play.
I'm still going to roll my investigation just because we Sildar knew that, didn't he?
Sildar knew it, yeah.
Let's say, 9, maybe 16. I'm looking for signs of like blue blood or anything doppelgangery.
No, you don't find anything that you might think would be doppelganger. You can certainly roll again an insight to see whether you believe the words coming out of his mouth.
Okay. I knew this would happen. It's a natural one.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, like, you're not even sure, like, where you are right now. He could tell you that the world was flat or round, or that, you know, COVID-19 was created by the government and is, you know, as a false and spread by the Chinese 5G towers, and you'd be like, yeah, mate, all right, I'm with you. You're a smart person. I'm with you. Absolutely, you're right. Yeah.
Listen, team, I'm not willing to trust anything as far as we can throw it. We've been duped enough times now.
Yeah.
But anybody can roll an insight. You know, you're all here present for the conversation.
I've completely had enough of this. I'm going out of here. I'll see you guys in 2 hours.
I genuinely thought James was going then.
James is just here, well, fuck you guys. Fuck this fucking game. You're a bunch of wankers.
Fucking
D&D is for losers, man. You're a bunch of geeks. I'm going to go and have sex.
Scapes, looking a little bit irritated and a little bit wide-eyed, walks off into the night.
Okay. Oh, no. Whoa. Love it.
That's just because he can't bother to roleplay.
Yeah.
As long as he knows the password next time we see him.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a twist.
He'll come back.
Did anybody else roll a...
I rolled a 12.
Lovely. Pock, did you roll Inside?
No, I'm just looking at Millicent thinking like, geez, leave him alone, poor bastard.
Yeah, I mean, with a 12, you know, he's spoken, you know, he understood, whilst he didn't reply in Dwarvish, again, he's very injured, very tired, and he was confused, but he still answered your questions. Yeah. You know, you think, you're inclined to believe him.
The point here is that he can't attack us anyway. We're not giving him any information. We're not.
Oh, is he just acting?
We're not giving him any information. We're not. I don't feel threatened by him either way. So that's fine. Yeah. What are we going to do about returning to potentially another Sildar?
Well, I think one Sildar has 500 gold pieces that he owes us. So I would like to acquire that before we kill him. I also believe that Sildar, if he is what we think he is, has more information on this whole shenanigan. So I do believe that we maybe don't let on in instantly that that we're on to him.
I reckon we play him like a fucking fiddle.
Yeah, my mind's ticking. There's something we can do. I've just not quite arrived at it yet. But we have a few days while Gundren gets back on his feet, because ultimately we need information from him.
I suggest that we take Gundren back to Sister Gariel.
The old lucky lady.
We walk into town if we can, as if we had cleared out the castle with the goblins, and we find Sildar, take Sildar, and we can tell him that we've recovered Gundren, but Gundren is too damaged to speak and hasn't spoken since we returns, so that he doesn't suspect that maybe we have the right information, or we keep it on the hush that we even have Gundren and we demand our cash and see how it goes from there.
We'll tell him Gundren's dead.
That would be believable.
Yeah, I think let's sneak Gundren back in then.
Absolutely. Sneak Gundren.
Yeah, by the morning, I will have some very handy spells for said adventures.
Probably safer for Gundren as well.
Quick question, slightly pinballing the into a different conversation. Did we take anything from King Groll?
Like what? He didn't really have anything.
Any evidence of his death?
Nope.
Fuck it.
Why? What did we need evidence for? For the bird?
Did we not need to? He's the Red Brand leader. Is that correct?
No.
Oh, Glassstaff. Where the fuck is? Okay.
Yeah. So basically, King Groll was the head of the Cragmore tribe, which was an owl. Kind of a group of all the different goblinoid races from the crags, some mountains up north, which had banded together. It was all a bit strange that they were down here and that they were really banding together as well. And you get the idea that the Black Spider has promised them something for doing so. Then the Red Brands were led by Glassstaff, and that was something different. But then again, it's a bit odd that there were bugbears from the Cragmaw tribe in the Red Brand hideout, and that they were working a little bit together. It's all a little bit strange.
Okay. I misremembered. Halia wants the Red Brand leader's death.
That was Glassstaff.
King Groll.
She wanted Glassstaff.
She made evidence of correspondence as well, didn't she?
She did. Yeah, you never gave it to her.
Person. But we don't have any.
We've got the paper.
No, yeah, we've still got that. We need Glassstaff, really.
We showed it to Sildar.
I think he's our key.
Yeah, you did show it to Sildar, yeah. And he was all a bit surprised, wasn't he?
So far, what have the doppelgangers tried to do? What's the doppelgangers as a race, I presume? What's their goal here? Because we've met three of them.
Well, the last one said that they were, what's it called, liberated by the Black Spider from the mines.
They're
and
underdark,
the Underdark,
still.
Yeah.
They're not nice people, Pock, if that's what you're asking.
No, it's just that if Sildar's won, what is his goal?
I assume that
that's what
it,
I don't understand.
It's working for the Black Spider.
Yeah, doing the bidding of the Black Spider.
What do we know about the mine itself? Why is that? It's sought after because you can forge magical weapons there, right?
Yeah,
at least
that's right.
What I believe. So that could be a hugely powerful
the forge
thing
of
for
spells,
someone.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And if that's his goal, and if that's the Black Spider's goal, and the Black Spider has been liberating these creatures from the Underdark, then they're only going to follow and worship.
Fair
this
point.
Guy. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know if that's
right. I think one step at a time. I mean, there's only so much we can do, but head back, sneak Gundren in so that Sildar doesn't see him. We claim he's maybe dead and
it's
go from there.
Is Droopy with us?
Yes. Hi. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, though. I don't really have much input. Like,
Droopy, could you do me a little favour?
Well, yeah, foot rub. Thank you, foot rub.
No, I would like you to just pop off into the woods and check in on Skeps.
Master Skeps.
Yeah, sure.
Just make sure he's all right. I'm sure he'll relish in your company for another 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Sneaky, just in case.
Maybe, yeah.
He went that way. Great. Off I go. Woo, bye. All right. So, Skeps, was there anything particular running through your mind as you walked off that you wanted to...
Well, Skeps has just—he's heard a lot about. He's heard stories of this. What's her name?
Which one?
The
Sister Gario. Oh, the god.
Moanda. Yeah, you.
Moanda. Yeah, he's read stories of Moanda when he was a child and everything, and he's always found that was one of the gods he was most scared of, and he'd also read about shapeshifters and stuff. Never really believed they were true, so he decided to go off in a bit of a huff, not knowing, starting to suspect even his own friends. I mean, how long's he even known Pock? So he just had enough, and he had to go out for a good prey. So he went and he got on his knees and started praying to Eonwe to give him some guidance and just to try and help him out of this. I mean, he doesn't know what's real and what isn't anymore. So he decides to get down and pray, and then he hears a little rustling in the bushes like someone's trying to not be seen.
Does he? All right, carry on. What's in the bushes?
Droop, come out of there.
Ah, master, hey. We're just worried about you. Are you okay?
I'm okay, Droop. I'm just having a little bit of a crisis of faith at the moment. I just feel like, you know, I can't trust anyone. And I grab him by the neck and put my belt knife up against his neck. You're one of them, aren't you? You're one of them.
Shit.
No, Master, it's me, your faithful servant. It's just Droop. It's me.
What do you bleed? What colour do you bleed?
Red. We all bleed red. It's something to do with the oxygen, how it reacts when the blood is red. Everyone's got red blood.
Okay.
That sounds too smart for a goblin to me.
Yeah. Roll of science.
Do you know what? I just drop him and I go, oh, Droop, or whatever your name is. I just don't know anymore. I just don't know. I feel like I'm losing my mind out here.
Well, what does your god say?
Not much. As always.
Yeah.
But I just don't know what to do. I think I'm just going to... We're going to have to keep an eye on the rest of the group. Okay, Droop?
Yeah. Team Justice.
Team Justice, that's
looking
right,
out
fella.
For each other.
I'm going to get you a promotion and I'll even get you one of your shoes back. I just need you to keep an eye on everyone, okay?
I will do. So what's your god's all about then?
Oh, it's all about justice. Justice and keeping the good and bringing the bad doers. And, oh, I can't tell you now. It's too long. I'm stressed, dude.
Okay.
Guys, I think they're falling in love.
No. I just pat him on the head and it's like, oh, Drew, you wouldn't understand anyway.
And he just kind of like nuzzles up into you and starts purring.
I think it's about time we got back to the group.
All right.
That was adorable.
That was great.
That was amazing.
There we go.
Beautiful. All right. Is there anything else that you wanted to do in the night?
Watches.
Watches. But like, what did you want to do on your watch? You found the map. You mentioned off recording that you wanted to look at the map. We did kind of cover it a bit last week. Whilst I don't have a copy of the map to actually physically show you, it does basically just tell you where the location of the mine is.
Is it roughly south, northwest of the village, or just a rough idea?
In the bumpy hilly bit.
Yeah.
Is that right?
So it's kind of like a close-up version, and you recognise some landmarks. So let me just wait for my computer to actually display the map, because it's all pixelated. So basically then we've got a cross in the woods. That's where the castle is. You camped a little way out here somewhere. So basically, like, there's a close-up version of the map, and it's all written on, like, kind of drawn by hand to show you kind of roughly in here. And it tells you, and there's kind of instructions, and it's like, you know, you go
X amount of miles this way and then X amount this way, and then you look for this sign, and when you find that, you follow this particular set of hills round, and it's in these hills somewhere, basically, but you know exactly, according to the map, you know exactly where it is. Other than that, there's not really anything special about the map at all. Was there anything else particular that you wanted to think about?
No, I just wanted to have a rough idea of what direction we were going in.
The only thing I wanted to do is I'm going to offer to take first watch. And whilst doing that, I'm just going to play with my new quarterstaff, just muck around with it whilst patrolling camp.
I've heard that about Puck. Plays with his quarterstaff all night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Aside from that, no, nothing. You going to stay up and read your new diary, Melissa?
I think I might.
Yes, you did find a diary. Okay, the diary... You kind of flum it. It would take you forever, like hours and hours to read for every page. You start off at the front.
I'm just kind of giving it like a light.
Yeah, you're flicking
read.
Through it. And it starts off kind of a bit teenage angsty, really. I don't have a script for it, basically. But it talks about what's happening around the day. It talks about how basically the author, the diary keeper's parents were kind of like clerics. People would be always coming there to... get their kind of fortunes read, but not kind of read. Her father had some kind of power, some kind of artifact, which would be able to tell whether or not there was good fortune, be able to make predictions and things like that about what was happening. And it was just all boring, you know. Oh, yeah, this, that and the other. Dad's training me to, you know, follow in his footsteps and I hate it. Well, this and the other. And it's not much interesting in there. A lot of talk about boy. Who basically, and it goes on, you're flicking through, his name keeps on coming up and up and up. The name Lacora, you get the impression that it was a human, but from the description, talks about how my parents, they'd be so mad, you know, if I was, you know, he's not an elf, things like that. Eventually mm-hmm. goes on to a romance. Let's talk about, you know, how we met up at night and stuff like that. Goes on and on as well, and from there you flick through some more pages, and it's really is boring stuff until you kind of thumb through quite a bit. Dad's forbidden the romance, told me if I see him again then, you know, he's gonna lock me in the tower. Talk about a man in a mirror, been seeing things, talking to the spirits in the woods, and it goes on, talks about this Moanda. You find this name, you're flicking through, eventually you get to the last page. And it talks about how the time has come, the ritual is complete, the Darkbringer promises me my love. We can be together. All I need to do is make one last sacrifice. And basically talks about luring her father down into the basement.
Ooh. And it ends. Murdered her dad.
And it ends. There's nothing more there.
Well, maybe she didn't manage it.
We didn't. Okay.
Sildar's diary. Whoa.
How old was this diary? Did we work that out? I can't remember.
Yeah, so the dates are all, like, really old. Like,
so it's an ancient story of a forgotten time of a old deity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's from, I don't have a time frame, maybe 1,000 years ago. The date is unimportant, so it's a long, long time ago.
Oh, we are coming back.
No, I mean it was a good sort of holiday read. And I'll write like a, while I'm just sitting waiting to do my watch, I'll write like a Cliff Notes in Common. So if anyone else wants to read a sort of trashy romance novel type version of it, I'll bard it up a bit as well. You know, I'll put some real like.
Is that how 50 Shades of Grey happened?
Yeah, this is a fan. I'm writing a fan fiction story. I'll do that. I'll write a really juicy fan fiction. They'll definitely have sex in it. And yeah.
Beauty and the Darkbringer.
And that'll be part 3. I will make up in later long rests.
Perfect.
Actually, Seed of Miranda does sound like a bit of a dirty book.
Uh
That's disgusting.
50 Shades of Deity.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. Awesome. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Okay. You're playing with this staff. Yes. You get the impression that it is definitely magical. But you know what? I'd forgotten all about it between last week and this week, so I haven't got anything prepared for you. So I will tell you what that does another time.
Okie doke.
But yes, there was a short sword as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've got...
Belonged to Sildar.
Well, I've got lots of stuff if anyone wants anything as well. I suppose we should tally all this up. 5 spears, 4 long swords, 3 morning stars, and 2 great swords. Is anyone want anything?
Can I use a short sword and a long sword at the same time, Luke?
So a long sword, it has to have the versatile property. Or the light, no, sorry, forgive me, has to have the light property to be able to use 2 weapons at once.
I see, all right, no problem.
Like both weapons have to have the light property. So yeah, the long sword doesn't. So you can use 2 short swords, but not a long sword and a short sword.
Okay, mate, all right.
Looking at Sildar's short sword, can I investigate the short sword, see if there's any extra properties to it other than just a standard short sword?
Absolutely, yeah. Throughout the night, you could have a play with it.
You know, I've got a standard short sword. It's just, I could do with an upgrade. I'll just pick out of the pile which is the least dinked up, I guess. But I'll look at Sildar's.
So there was, in his equipment, there was a crossbow, some chainmail, and a short sword. The short sword and the crossbow definitely felt like they had an aura about them.
Mm-hmm. I will definitely hold on to those, if that's okay with everybody else.
Yeah.
Can I do an arcana check on them?
So arcana is like an intelligence check, so it's about being able to decipher magical glyphs, writing, work out history of stuff. It doesn't work like a detect magic.
Okie doke.
If a particular item was like a really famous item, then yes, there might be, but it's all about lore. It's not a free detect magic.
Okay.
There's spells that do that.
Before we do sleep, I've just spotted something else we found. A massive keg of brandy. I don't want a drink.
Yes. That's right, there was some dwarven brandy.
Yeah, let's get on it.
I'll come strolling in from the night.
Oh, yeah. smell it on the wind. Yeah. Like in those cartoons when they have bacon. And you're just like...
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The brandy. And let me find...
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
The brandy is poison. Do you all
check you brandy for traps.
You suffer.
Paranoid enough as it is, it better not be poison.
Okay, so a small cask filled with an exceptional dwarven brandy, which the goblins overlooked because of its size. The cask contains the equivalent of 20 glasses. Nice. You all have a little glass, a little bit of brandy. You all regain 1 hit point.
Hey. Well, this is a long rest, isn't it?
So yeah, basically, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But yeah, so if you could please, it's got 20... portions, basically.
Okay.
Each one that you have will you've just had presumably
4 shots.
4 shots. Cool. That's a hit point each. Are you going to have another shot?
Oh, would you read that?
We're going to save this later, aren't we?
I'd say it is quite old.
Just started
exceptionally, it is very strong.
Savor it. No, I'm going to watch later as well.
I'm just sipping this.
If we run the potions and all of that shit.
Yeah, that could really help someone.
I don't know.
To be fair, it's basically, yeah, it's only 1 hit point. But if someone goes unconscious, chuck the brandy in their neck, that's a hit point. Yeah. And that brings them back.
I'll keep a note of the hit
points. Do we need to know, we'll gain hit points.
Do we need to give any to Gundren?
Is he all right?
So with Gundren, he can't walk. He's just knackered.
He's had a potion, isn't he, already?
He had lay on hands. So when Scapes tried to lay on hands to him, he had 4, mechanically, he had 4 points of healing left that he could give, but his body wouldn't accept any more than 2. So it's like 2's his maximum. So mechanically, hit points wise, he's kind of at full, but it's the exhaustion affects everything else.
Might waste it on him then.
I mean, maybe he might like a glass. Dwarven brandy.
I'm not begrudging anyone drinking that.
Let's give him it, because I've got just got one of those feelings. I'll knock another hit point off this.
Well, Liam Neeson, let me find my channel, my inner Neon. Liam, what's his name again? Liam Neeson. Oh, thank you, friend. It's lovely. Tastes just like my grandma used to make. used to give me when I was a wee pup. Supping at the tit. Shot of brandy.
At the tit?
This is it. That's where dwarven brandy comes from. Grandma's bosom.
Grandma's tit.
Cannon.
There we go. Cool. Anything else you want to do in the nighttime, or can we montage on?
Montage.
Cool. Excellent. Okay. So you sleep through the night. Morning comes round. You've got like a day or so's travel from where you are. You're going across country, so you know, over here. You can do it just about in a day from where you are. You'll be approaching Phandalin towards night.
Yeah, let's,
of the evening.
Let's do it.
If you go straight the way through, breaking, you know, stopping for a couple of breaks. And just to keep the podcast moving, nothing exciting is going to happen.
Luke, just to clarify some stuff.
Oh, yes. Go for it.
Sorry.
Go.
Just a quick one. Spells.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to switch spells out. That's on a long rest, I believe. So I can switch and trade my spells around as a druid.
I'm fairly certain with a druid. Yeah, so when do you prepare spells? Let's double check.
I kind of have.
I think you do. Let me double check. Some classes don't. Some do.
Oh, okay. Well, this could be a cool little moment if I don't have to prepare them and I can just dip in.
No, you can change your spells. I can't. That's what I'm saying. I can only.
Oh, I see. Right.
Preparing and casting spells. So the druid table shows you how many spell slots you have. Yep. Expend spell slots. Yep. You prepare the list of druid spells that are available for you to cast, choosing from the druid spell list. Yeah. So you need to prepare after a long rest.
Crack him.
Change your list of prepared spells when you finish a long rest. With bards. So basically, what the confusion comes with, we had a conversation a few weeks ago, Lisa, Millicent, about it, is that your cantrips are for life. Like, when you get your cantrip, you've always got your cantrips prepared and ready. But with the actual spells, I think you pick them, don't you, when you level up with the bard. So again,
it's all to do with the known. So if I
yes,
have
that's right,
two
they're known.
I can't then, on a long rest, prepare a different two cantrips from that list.
No, that's right. So with bards, yeah, you're right, you've learned them. So you have learned to untangle and reshape the fabric of reality in harmony with your wishes and music. Your spells are part of your vast repertoire. Magic that you can tune to different situations. Cantrips, you just know them. I think that's the same with every class. You've got your cantrips done. Boom. And then spell slots. Yes. Spells known. So you know for this is at first level. You know for first level spells of your choice from the bard list, and then spells known column of the bard's table shows you when you learn more bard spells. So you don't have a massive list and you can pick them every day. When you level up, you choose what spells you want, and that's what you've got. And then every time you level up, you might get a couple of extra spells. But also, when you level up, if you've got one spell that's crap or you haven't used, you can choose to change that one spell that you've not. You can change one spell for something new. Otherwise, your spells are permanent.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. And during your long rest, whilst you haven't got it prepared, because I didn't warn you that it was going to happen, you all level up.
Yeah. Yay! Whoa.
Yay!
Yes.
Oh, I'm happy. Yay.
Puck can swim.
That's it. Yeah. So I didn't warn you. I've kept you up to date with like how your XP is sporadically throughout the process of this. And last time I told you, I think you were about like 500 away from leveling up. So since then, you've done the weird tentacle creature. You've done an extra couple of goblins. You've rescued Sildar. That's a bit of XP. And you got some for the owlbear. And you've also then done the trap and puzzle on that door as well. So you've got enough now definitely to level up, but I didn't tell you to do it in preparation for tonight. As I said, I've done fuck all this week, so I do apologize. I haven't got that, didn't give you the notice for it. So if you want to all, I don't need to know what it is, but if you just want to roll your HP, add that on in the background.
Just how do I do that? I've not done that yet.
On your spell, on your character list, and with your HP, it will tell where your hit dice are. It tells you how much you get to add. So it's different for every class. So your hit dice is
3 × 1d8.
So when you level up, you will roll. You have the choice of either taking the average, which is half. So if you've got a d8, you can just take 4, or you can gamble and you can roll. And you add that to your maximum.
Can I ask you about
plus your constitution modifier? So you roll, your dice plus your constitution modifier, and then you add that to your maximum HP. Sorry, Scapes, what you're saying?
Sorry, so basically it's saying here that I've got My hit die is 4d10.
Yes, so that's when you for resting. So when you your hit dice is a d10. So again, you can take the average of 5, or you can roll a d10, and don't forget to add on your constitution modifier.
What onto the overall score of that?
Yeah, whatever you roll.
Okay,
crack in.
Sorry, so mine says 1 × 1d8 + 2 hit dice.
Right, so the where it says hit dice, it will say 3 times. So that's what you use when you short rest. When you short rest, you've got throughout a 24-hour period, you've got level 3, you've got 3 of those dices. And now with your fourth level, you'll actually have 4 of those dice to use in your short rest. But when you level up, you just roll one dice and you add that to your HP plus your constitution modifier. Gosh. That does mean if your constitution is a minus, then you do minus as well. Lekimekon, they are now level 4.
Yay.
1d8.
Jesus, that done all right then.
Now, instead of an ability score improvement, I might take a feat. That's correct.
Let's not worry about that other stuff. You're right, at fourth level, you're probably going to get ability score improvement, but you can also not do that, forgo that, and take a feat. You're going to get possibly some other class stuff. Like I said, I haven't warned you this was coming. I don't want to waste podcast time on leveling everyone up, because that'll just be us done for the night. Not a whole lot is going to happen in the next 20 minutes before we finish. So you can do that.
So
later.
I was at full hit points, so I didn't. Can I now roll to reach my maximum hit points?
Correct. Yeah. You will be at max HP because you've long rested, but whatever that is new total. Cool. Yeah.
Sweet. Perfect.
Let's go. Ooh. I'm up to 34 now, then. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I landed a 30. What fucking chuff with that?
27 for me.
You're going to need it.
Yeah.
Well, I've now got a total of 28.
How is it possible that our tank has got like the least amount of hit points?
I know.
Well, he doesn't need all the hit points, does he?
Well, this is it. He doesn't get hit.
Nah.
So you got full HP at your new level, and you can sort all the rest out between now and next week.
Yeah.
Okay, so you approach Phandalin. It is dusk. The sun is setting. It's been a while since we've been here now, hasn't it? Bloody hell. So in case we've picked up any new listeners who haven't listened to the previous episodes, let's have a look. So you're travelling down south from where you are from the woods, and you come down, and eventually the rutted track emerges from a wooded hillside, and you catch your first glimpse of Phandalin, second technically, because you've been here before. The town consists of 40 or 50 simple log buildings, and some are built on old fieldstone foundations, more old ruins, crumbling stone walls covered in ivy and briars kind of scatter around the outskirts, surround more the newer houses and shops in the middle, showing how this must have been a much larger town in centuries past. Most of the newer buildings are set on the sides of the cart track, which widens into a muddy main street of sorts as it climbs toward a ruined manor house on a hillside at the east side of town. And business is closing, if you remember rightly. As you come in from the north there, you serve down, you've got a pathway leads off to your right, which would be west, which would lead you to the Edenmouth Orchard and Farm, which is where you hired the horses from that you're going to have to return at some point. Also, just past that is Barfin's Provisions, and you can just see the boys outside Barfin's Provisions sweeping up, getting ready to close for night. Very reminiscent of what happened to you 3 or 4 days ago when you arrived here last. It's pretty much the same time of day. You're going to go straight into the centre of town?
Are we trying to not be seen, aren't we?
Yeah, we don't want to bump into anyone that might...
Yeah, we want to avoid anywhere Sildar might be. So can we skirt around past behind the Lion Shield up to Sister Gariel's?
So as you go down the main path into the centre of the town, you will go past Barfin's Provisions, you'll go past the Smithy, and then as you get into the main square where the shrine is, where Sister Gariel, where you, assuming that she is, you've not met her, where you've heard of her, people have said that she's been missing from town. But that is directly opposite the Stonehill Inn, which is where you were staying and where also Sildar was staying. The Townmaster's Hall is then past that, if you look at the map there. So the Townmaster's Hall is down here, which is where he's working out of. The Stonehill Inn is where he's sleeping. Shrine of Luck right next to that in the main square. As I say,
Can we not take this route to get to... And then maybe sneak Gundren through the... the houses.
You can search. I mean, you see here again. There's a green in the, just next to, just to the left or the west of the main square. There's a massive green where kids were during the day. You would have seen kids running around, playing games and things like that as well. So you can just from where his farm is, you can just cut across there and go to the shrine. Like I say, whether or not she'll be there though is another matter entirely.
The sneakiest of us.
That'd be me.
I've got Pass Without a Trace. If you
want it. Yeah, you could do that.
Well,
wouldn't it stay within 30 feet of you though? I'm considering sending her in to just have a scope out, find her first. Maybe you can bring her to us.
Yeah, my stealth's plus 3, so.
Yeah.
So I'm heading down to Sister Gabrielle's to see if I can
find her.
Slip in there.
You're going to go down to the to see Darren Edermouth and give him the horses back and then try and sneak round to the shrine, is that right?
Yes.
Do we want anything spell wise to make us not noticeable, or I'm worried Gundren's going to be seen?
I'm only saying because I thought Pass Without a Trace was you have to stay within 30 feet of you.
Yeah,
you both want to go up ahead.
No, because it's
cold.
It's just a waste if she's not there, considering we're not really in any trouble.
Let's see what our sneaky rope. Mm.
Yeah.
So where are you?
Dropping the horses off. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll stay back here and we'll send.
Okay. So head down to Darren Edermath's orchard. As I said, it's late evening. Early late evening. So. When you approach down here, it's all shut up. You can see some lights on in the houses. But as you approach, you see a figure by a window. And out pops your friends from before. Darren Edermath. I can't remember if I cast him as a...
I think he was Cornish.
Was he? I can't remember if I cast an actor as him or not. I don't remember. But
I think he was from Marrakesh.
From Marrakesh. Don't even get me started. That's not going to happen at all. It was just a... bubbling old posh adventurer. Ah, oh, here we are.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It was friends.
Order of the Gauntlet.
Your return early as well. I was not expecting you for another couple of days. Ah, oh, well met. Did you find that read-off fellow?
We did. Golly.
Very strange kind of guy.
Druids. All druids are very, very strange. No, present company.
I turn into a wolf.
Accepted, of course. See, this is what I mean. And my horses back in one piece. Excellent. Yeah. Yes.
Well, we left that 50 gold back then. Cheers, mate.
Yes, of course, your deposit. Well, I'm very pleased. Of course, you can have that back. Oh, it's all done for the evening, but of course, where business never sleeps. Let's just see. We'll just get them all unsaddled and back in the barn over there. Give them some feed and then I'll get your money for you. Pip, pip. Post haste.
That
was
like an RAF dude.
I am an ex-adventurer, don't you know?
you have said.
Pick his arm with my knife.
You have a new companion.
No,
I can't really remember what happened because it was actually like 8 weeks ago when we had this conversation, but you were asking everybody in town about Gundren, so I'm going to assume that you asked me about Gundren. Is this Gundren fellow?
I cast Charm Person on him.
Okay. Read the description, please.
You attempt to charm a humanoid you can see within range, makes a wisdom saving throw, and does so with advantage if you're fighting him. If he fails a saving throw, it's charmed by you until the spell ends, or you try and do any harm to it.
Okay.
It regards you as an acquaintance, which it kind of does. When the spell ends, the creature knows it's been charmed for an hour.
All right, give me a second.
I'm not sure this is working the way I want it to work, but...
I don't think it's a bad idea to be able to say, look, can you not tell anyone we've arrived for an hour?
Yeah, to be
probably,
fair.
Probably
could have done it without the spell, but you've done it now. What was the...
We're sleeping.
What was your saving throw? What was the DC?
It's a DC...
13, that's fine.
He
failed. He failed. So that's fine. He's like, Paw! Oh, my best friend. Sorry, I didn't recognize you at first, my good man. Oh, you must come in for some tea and drinks, yes?
Oh, look, we're very busy. I thought I'd correct you because I know it's very embarrassing being wrong, but no, this isn't Gundred. No, this is a guy called Alfred we met on our travels.
Alfred, he does look a bit good, but it's not Gundred. A friend of Pock is a friend of mine, of course.
Yes. But maybe don't mention we've got anyone with us. Or
whatever it is they say in Elvish. Please do. you must stay the night, Pock. What tales we must... I need to hear all about your adventures.
I don't suppose we could... if we need a place to stay, we could stay at your house. Is that okay?
Well, of course, absolutely.
Excellent.
Yes,
lovely.
As the elves say, as I said, those elves, because the elves are Spanish, apparently.
That's great.
Mi casa, su casa.
So that'd be great. If you could put us up for the night, that'd be great. And don't tell anyone we're here. We want to surprise a friend. So don't let anyone know, you know.
Absolutely.
You know.
We'll have a surprise party. We could all just jump out and say surprise.
We could, but I really need
Who's
to stress
the lucky
this.
Man?
Just
birthday,
us.
Is it?
Oh, I should have. Just us. We're the only ones invited to the party. Just want to clarify that very clearly that there is no party. And it's just us. And just don't tell anyone we're here because it's
course.
A secret, but we'll let you know in due course.
Course. Absolutely.
And while we're at it, you said you needed some extra horse, so we brought them back if you've got that 100
yes.
gold you said you would give us for the horses.
100?
Yeah, you did say that before. You said if we were to find some extra horses for you, you'd give us 100 gold.
Well, can you make me a because this is a lie, all right? So I need a deception, but because it's charmed, I'll give you advantage.
Wow, you are charming.
Natural 20.
Yeah, of course. Silly me, yes, absolutely. When we go in the house, we'll must have a glass of well, this is an orchard, so we'll knock out some of the special brew. I've got the perfect vintage here of mead. I know, whatever it'll do.
Vintage mead.
Vintage mead. Yes.
Lovely.
It's from what is it? The year. What do they call it with wine? Where they're like in a certain year.
It is a vintage, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or 1432. Fantastic. I've been keeping it just for
wonderful.
This kind of special occasion. Yes, I've been keeping this bottled up for 50 years, but because you're my best friend, we're going to pop it tonight.
Let's all go in for an hour while we figure out the next bit.
Are we going into his house?
How long does this spell last?
It's an hour.
An hour? Okay, can you read the full description for me?
You charm a humanoid you see within range. It must make a wisdom saving throw with advantage if you're fighting it. If it fails a saving throw, it is charmed by you until the spell ends or until you or your companions do anything harmful to it.
Mm-hmm.
The charmed creature regards you as a friendly acquaintance. When the spell ends, the creature knows it has been charmed by
you. Wow, that's interesting.
It was a silly plan that went a bit wonky. We need to be out within the hour because I've just basically stolen 100 gold from him.
We'll be back.
We'll be back this evening.
Come in. Yeah, so we'll get this. We've got.
Let's get out
space.
The way and let Burr do his thing for a bit and then we'll fuck off within the hour.
Okay. So he's going to take you in. And
oh, shit.
No, you said coming in, you want to stay. He said he's invited
you
to
it.
Are you going in? Are you going to refuse his hospitality after you've asked for it?
Well, we're going for now because we want to be out the way while Bert.
Your friend Alfred doesn't look too spickety. Perhaps we should get him to lay down. You need to speak to... I know. Would you like me to go get Sister Gabrielle? She's back in town. Doesn't look too good for herself at the moment,
that
but I'm sure she'll be more than helpful.
Yeah, shapeshifter.
Is she at home?
I mean, she might be. She's probably just... If she's not at the shrine, she'll be in her house, which is just right next door to it, coincidentally.
Do you want to go, Belle? Should we let our good friend go?
I'm more than
happy.
Make yourself at home and I'll go get her. Don't you? You've had a long, weary travel to Thunder Tree and back.
Anyone?
I mean, we're going to let him...
What, we're going to let him go and get the guards or whatever, or get the enemies? I think so.
Nah. I think Burr should go.
I'm going with
him. He is charmed for an hour.
He's on your side for an hour.
Okay.
Don't trust him.
Oh, maybe.
Scapes don't trust no one.
I'm going to go with him.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yes, absolutely. But Darren, we've met before. Was it Burr...
Bollock thrower.
Ah, bollock. Well, it's an interesting name, bollock thrower. Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever. Who am I to say? My name's Edamath. Okay. Well, feel free to make yourselves at home. Larder is full with food. There's apples that we grow, and apparently we make mead from them too. But you can help yourself. Bread the lot, and yes, do. There's plenty of beds upstairs. Maybe take your friend up there to lay down. It looks like he could probably use it.
Perfect.
Okay.
This way, then. We'll just cut across the green there is the quickest way, I suppose. So, tell me about your travels then, young Burr. I mean, I had an adventure or two back in my day, don't you know? I'd love to hear all about your travel.
Yeah, we've had a few.
Anything exciting happen up in Thunder Tree?
Yeah, there was those ash zombies up there still. They're knocking around.
Ah, they're still there. Well, I would have thought they would have either wandered off or deteriorated by now.
Nah, they're still going, causing problems. There's a dragon floating around up there that old Radolf's waiting for.
A dragon, you say? Wow. Hmm,
yeah,
scary.
We didn't stick around. We didn't want to have any dealings with that.
That is troubling news. I mean, we're only a few days from there, a dragon in the area could mean terrible things for the town. Perhaps somebody may need to take care of that soon. You see, Radolf was investigating, was he? Well,
yeah, I'm sure he'll be back with word of what's going on with that soon.
Interesting.
He might need an adventurer to go and help him, so he might be knocking at your door.
Well, my adventuring days are long over, ever since I took an arrow in the knee.
Sorry.
What was that in character?
Arrow to the knee.
Anyway, here we are. There she is. Is this the shrine here? It's her house there. Yeah, so it appears that this... let's have a look here. It's not here, but we'll just go and have a knock on her door. Yeah, come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sister Gario, sorry to bother you such late in the evening. The door opens. And before you, you're she. An elf. In kind of long, flowing kind of robes. Looks a bit like a, you know, it's got like flowers kind of braiding in her hair and stuff like that. But doesn't look too great herself. She's covered in bruises, scratches on her neck and face and arms, all sorts. As she opens the door, she's like, "Oh, Darren, how can I help you at such a late time in the evening?"
"Oh, I am terribly sorry, but we are in need of your assistance. My friend, he's a friend of my friend, my best friend, Pock, and their friend's not looking too good for himself. And, well, I thought that maybe you could come and have a look and see if you could put some of your divine healing powers and some use here as a favour, personal favour for me."
I mean, sure. It's a bit late for a house call, but I suppose for you, are you feeling quite all right? Have you been at your own supply again, Darren?
Carriel, you know me all far too well. Anyway, yeah, please come this way. Burr, don't just stand there. And he slaps you on the back. Introduce yourself, because the DM hates role playing with himself. You should know this by now.
I've been waiting for it.
All right, Carriel, I'm a bolt thrower. You're very, very friendly, kind of short and sexy.
Well, the pleasure is mine I'm sure. My name is Sister Gabrielle, as our mutual friend has just informed you. What seems to be the matter with your friend?
Well, we've had a bit of trouble with some locals and some... It's a long story, put it that way.
Nothing too nefarious, I hope. Just let me just grab my things and we can talk and walk. And she just closes the door, pops back inside. About 30 seconds later, she opens the door again. She's got like a satchel over with her and stuff like that. Up to your place, is it, Darren? Oh, yes. Good. Burr, you were saying your friends got you run into some trouble.
Yeah, we've had a bit of trouble.
Wait, you're not part of the adventuring troop that was through here not too long ago. I heard whilst I was gone that some group of travellers came in. All of the red brands and then just... Was that you?
No, I don't know nothing about that.
Well, shame. I sure would love to give my thanks to them.
Yeah.
So tell me, what happened to your friend?
Well, he just got into a bit of a barroom brawl and got a bit of a duffing up.
Not a Toblin's place, I mean... As I was saying, since the red brands have gone, the sleeping giant, that's all empty. They've done it. Whoever was left in there, they've all run away. The only working in the town is the Stone Hill. I'm sure there was no brawl in there. Toblin keeps a tight ship.
It wasn't a brawl. It was just a bit of a kicking in.
At the inn?
Not at the inn.
Kicking in, he said.
Kicking in.
Well, where did this happen?
Just in the street, he was walking around.
Are those red brands back? Oh, terrible. Well, perhaps...
if you don't mind me asking, Sister Gabrielle...
Of course.
You don't look too tasty yourself at the moment.
No, unfortunately. Well, I too like to go on my own little adventures sometimes. And, well, this one, it was not as fruitious, whatever the phrase is, as I would have liked. And unfortunately, it appears that I underestimated my own abilities. But I am still here, at least.
By the way, when I cut whatever his name is, did I see what colour his blood was?
Who did you cut?
The guy that he charmed.
Oh, I didn't realise you had done that.
Yeah, he slipped in and nicked him.
I nicked him on the arm. I went, oh, sorry.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that, so I'll let it slide. Red blood. Bloody red. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so you're right back at the house. And
So she's been telling... She's just had some adventures herself and she got a little bit...
Yes, I...
Was we there? Sorry.
I went to see... man about a book, I suppose, and they weren't best place to see me, but that's none of your concern, young man. Anyway, that's okay. So yes, here we are. Your house. I see you have other guests at here as well, Darren.
Yes, my good friend Pock, my best friend Pock.
Well, it's strange. Hello. I've never heard you mention anybody called Pock before. Pleased to meet you, sir.
Lovely to meet you, Sister Gabrielle. Yeah, we've frequented the town just a couple of times, and unfortunately, a bit of a whoopsie happened to our friend, Derek. And
thought you said his name was Alfred.
Sorry, that's his nickname. We call him Derek. He's close friends.
Just like you, Pock.
Oh, I know. Silly me, hey. Sister Gabrielle, we've heard much about what you can do. Do you think you could help our friend?
Let's have a look at him. Let's see.
Can I cut her throat?
Can you do what?
But before you do that, we would like some of your blood.
Excuse me?
That didn't happen.
Can I just take some of her blood? I'm just going to go, whoopsie, and accidentally cut her as well.
You're going to need to make a roll for it. So I would have made you roll for it last time.
Okay, go on. What do you want me to roll?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like...
probably an attack roll, to be honest. But I mean, I suppose you could try and pass it off as a sleight of hand.
But how about a performance?
No.
All right, go on then.
Sleight of hand, good shot.
I mean, bearing in mind that if this goes badly, I'm just going to double check. Like, are you sure? Because, like, if this goes badly, I'm going to roll against that. If this goes badly, this could end in
disaster. Yeah. The
thing is, Scapes is having a really bad problem with paranoia at the moment. So,
Okay. Let's take it a different way then. Am I noticing that he's about to try and do this?
Very possibly. Yeah.
I'm a little bit wild around the eyes as well. I'm looking around the room pretty. Like,
yeah, he's not been like clever really since. Mm. So can I detect?
Some kind of perception or.
I would like to try
insight
and
into
it.
How he's feeling. Yeah.
I'll kill you.
Perception was 14. Insight, I think, the same.
So, what is it exactly that you're trying to see? I mean, really, like, this is player on player stuff. So, like, I can adjudicate, but, like, okay. I kind of feel like.
Well, I would say that I didn't, like, if that was his sleight of hand roll, I didn't notice.
Yeah, he did roll an 18 on the sleight of hand, so you probably wouldn't have noticed anything.
But as it kind of transpires, if he does manage to hurt her and she's like, oh, it was an accident, fine, then I'll leave it. But if it wasn't, and she gets the ump, I will drag him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. All right. Oh, butterfingers.
But like, explain to me how this in your mind, your mind's eye, how this is working.
Or Millicent's mind eye.
Yours, I think.
No, yours. Yeah. Like, what do you expect? Like, so you're like, whoopsie. But exactly, like,
just
what,
put the knife away,
what Scapes is doing.
I'm in this room. I'm nil. I'm leaning against. Just next to the door frame where the door comes in. I'm leaning just against it, just behind the door, and I'm peeling an apple. I'm paring an apple with a little kind of knife from my pocket. And just eating little bits of the apple, looking around the room nervously, a little bit of sweat beading on my scalp. The door opens and I recognise the first person who comes in. I'm like, oh, that's all right. Carry on eating my apple. Next person who comes in looks a little bit suspicious, a little kind of elf woman. And I'm just like peeling my apple and I accidentally, oops, like that, and stab her in the side of the arm. Okay. I'm going to say in the throat, but that's not, yeah.
Can I have an attack roll?
What with?
Well, your dagger, I suppose, your knife.
Oh, well, actually, I haven't got one.
No, I will allow you to have a dagger. It will be that your same modifiers as it is for a sword. It'll just
plus five.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
What we want to happen is that he misses.
Three.
Hey.
Okay. So it'll be an eight with your plus five. So yeah, you're like, whoopsie, you sit forward and you pass it off with that 18 sleight of hand as an accident, and she manages just to kind of like dodge it and be like, oh, easy there. That's okay. Are you? All right, maybe you should sit down. I can have a look over you as well.
I'll sit down when I'm good and ready.
One thing that we're just going to throw out there, if Scapes is feeling really paranoid, these people have been gone for 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. How can you be so sure that Burr isn't a doppelganger?
Burr, I'll just go, Burr, I'll just mouth at him, password.
Hope now.
Who's what now?
All right.
That password's wrong. So I'm going to stab Burr in the... No.
Roll initiative!
No!
One or two, isn't it? Yeah.
She's got such a bad memory, doesn't know.
You're like, oh, that's all right. He said the password, so it's fine.
He's all right.
If you got it right, then suspicions arise.
Yeah, he said the wrong thing.
He did say the wrong thing. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Oh, my God. What am I going to do?
I realised that I've said the wrong thing and I cut my head and go, actually, look, I am. I bleed red.
Are you sure? Because I'm about to jump on you straight and shake
you. Sister Gary, how the fuck did I brush over this whole incident?
Yes.
If you would be as kind, we have a few errands to run in town. Would you mind just looking over our friend Derek? Just bring him, do what you can to him if you could do anything.
Derek, yes. Okay. She looks over him and she does some incantations. and which apparently is Spanish because she's an elf. I don't know why, but kind of prays a little bit. Where she's a cleric and she's doing some burning some incense and some incense, burning some incense. You know, it's doing.
Always burning the incense.
Oh, mate, always. and yeah, and she's like, oh, I see. Well, yeah, your friend is almost dead. You say that he just had a kicking in the street. Well, we must go to Harbin Wester and let him know. If...
So the thing is, Harbin Wester sent us on a mission to get rid of some orcs in the outside of the town. You could see the posters on the door.
Yes.
They were, in fact, the ones that did harm our friend Derek. We didn't want to say too much because it's our business and Harbin's business. Obviously, we didn't do that well, so... We want to break the news to Harbin Wester about the failed mission. So we would like it if you didn't go and speak to him. And if we could just deal with him as much as we can. And we'll take care of the rest.
Okay. So you'll need a deception, possibly a persuade. Because, like, you know, I see you're trying to persuade her, but you've also done it through lying. So I think it's definitely... are you proficient in either of them?
No, they're both just a... It doesn't shitty matter. Plus one.
Yeah, so just give me a roll.
Can plus I, one. as he's waxing lyrical, I will try and interject with some confirming facts to support his story and inspire him. So he's got a D6 if he needs it.
Yes, I do. So that was a 9 on the 20.
Plus the 1 for a 10.
Plus the 1 for a 10, plus a 5 for a 15.
15.
Ooh. Tasty.
I just turn over, okay. Look at Millicent and go.
So I rolled an insight to see if she noticed Millicent doing bardic inspiration. And then I rolled another dice to see if she believed your lie. I said, oh, of course. Oh, well, yes, I've seen the posters around. So, okay. Well, he looks as though he's lucky to be alive. Certainly. Ooh. Yes, this is within... my expertise. He's going to need several days of round-the-clock care before he is in any fit state to go anywhere with you again. But as much as Darren, you know, considers you his friend, best friend, unfortunately,
yeah,
these are troubling times, and my services are not free.
Oh, we can pay.
We can pay.
Whoa.
Suddenly not paranoid anymore.
Yeah. All right. He's just give us 100.
How's about...
That's a good point.
You scratch my back and I'll scratch your back.
All right, I'll start to scratch her back.
You see...
a knife. Just to see if she bleeds.
As I was explaining,
he's scratching really hard.
With my gauntlet.
As I was explaining to your friend Burr on the way over here, I recently did go out and to find some information, and unfortunately, I was not successful. And was lucky to be able to return myself. As you can see, I have seen better days. My wounds were healed, don't you worry. But if you could do something for me, it's just a simple errand. I just need some information. That's all I ask. And in the meantime, by the time you get there and back, your friend will be right as rain. Interested?
Yeah, absolutely. What is it you need to find out?
I need you to travel up the Tribal Trail to Coneybury. There,
anyway, guys,
you will find an old path that will lead you into the Neverwinter Woods, where you are looking for, let's call her a lady called Agatha. When you find Agatha, she can be a bit temperamental. I would warn you to be polite at all costs and play to her, what's the word? Sorry. Tune. Yes, I suppose. All I need you to do is ask her about a book. As I said, I was talking to a man about a book. It's a very particular book written by a name called Beau Gentle. All I'm asking for is if she knows where this Beau Gentle's book is. If you can then find this information and bring it back to me. Like I say, your friend will be right as rain by the time you get. It's a simple quest. And here, take this
I have something that will help you as well. I'll get it for you in the morning. You don't want to be going tonight. It's late. Supposedly, legend has it with Agatha that she's quite vain. And if you present her with a tribute, with a gift, and she deems it acceptable, then she will answer any question that's asked of her. And all you need to do is ask her about this book.
So you're going to give us the gift to...
Absolutely, yes.
Can I ask you what the gift is?
Yes, it's a comb, a jeweled silver comb. I'll get it for you in the morning. As I say, all you need to do is persuade the Agatha, to tell you what it is that she knows about the location of the book belonging to Bogentle. As I say, play to her vanity. That's what I was searching for earlier on. Ask her the question, and hopefully she will give you the answer.
Well, Burr's the sweet talker, so...
Yeah.
Would anybody like to roll a history?
Yes, please.
I'm going to ask to do something. 15 for me.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Yeah, 15.
20. Nat 20.
Oh, Nat 20. Yeah, nice. What's your modifier on that?
One.
Nice. So,
it's 20. Sorry,
it's just straight 20. That's so fine. Yeah, so 20 is still would be considered a hard success, so that's fantastic. So, nat 20, lovely. Coneyberry, Agatha, where you've heard all of this before, God knows, but you have heard of some kind of spirit in the history books that used to guard over Coneyberry. The people of Coneyberry used to kind of revere it as almost like a godlike being, and they would pay tribute to Agatha, and Agatha would keep the town protected against kind of like not like invasions or anything, but protect him against things like all the monsters that live in the woods and stuff. The interesting thing is that she's not a god and she's not a wood spirit. She's actually a banshee.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all the time we've got. Blah, 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 blah. That's about all we've got time for this week. Please.
Can I do one more thing? Because I just want to make sure I don't forget to do it next week. I'm just going to put the extra 100 gold that I lied about just on the side table.
With a note saying sorry.
Yeah, it's just going to be there. So if he questions anything, the 100 gold isn't in my hands or pockets. It's on his cabinet. Thank you, DM.
Sorry, Millicent, did you have anything you wanted to double check before we call it a night?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for tuning in to another thrilling, exciting episode of the D&D Show. Find out what happens next week.
So much cool shit happened.
Love you all. Thanks for joining us. Stream, guys, you are all fan-fucking-tastic. Love you all. Thanks for joining in. Being the podcast, we'll tune in next week. Otherwise, ciao for now.
For now.
The D&D Show would like to thank Sorco Soundscapes on YouTube for the music used in this recording. Find them on Twitter at Sorco Sounds. Thank you to Lewis Gell for writing our theme tune. Find him on Twitter at Lewis SW Gell. And thank you to our very own James Blyer for creating the new incredible orchestral arrangement. Lastly, from all of us here at the D&D Show, thank you for downloading our podcast. You are amazing. We'll see you next time. The D&D Show is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast, LLC.
You see, looking up from the ground, blood-red clouds boiling across the sky.
You did ask me to bring the thunder.
Dejin! Dejin! Help! I've got the chalice, please!
Well, if they're following you, then I guess that takes care of a loose end for me.
All of you feel the earth beneath you shake and crack and break.
I feel that I have failed both of you. And I am sorry for that.
This has nothing to do with you being a bad leader.
Do you want a countdown? Oh, I think I want a countdown.
I wanted to help. I always had good intention. I did not deserve to die.
Now.
The Lucky Die Podcast is a weekly 5e Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join our adventure every Monday wherever you download podcasts by searching for The Lucky Die.
Welcome to Roleplay Retcon Studios, located at the nexus of all alternate universes, including the sexy vampire ones.
Ooh.
At Roleplay Retcon, we remake famously disappointing movies using comedy, hindsight, and tabletop RPGs.
Like Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes, but specifically not Dungeons and Dragons. We take a second pass at guilty pleasures like Batman and Robin or Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and even some controversial favorites like Twilight.
But I love those movies.
We do too, and all of the movies we do have something to love. If they didn't, there would be nothing to reimagine. At the end of each series, we compare our vision to the original films, because why the f*** not?
I can't wait to listen to Roleplay Retcon, wherever podcasts are available.
I'm gonna listen to it before you do.